when this
No. You still want to do more of these morons? We have news to deconstruct. No, okay, I'm stopping you.
Go try it out. Try it out. Out.
Putin!
Putin!
Oh, you heard that?
Oh, yeah. I'm curious if it's going to pick up our voices.
Where?
On this recording right now.
Stay woke.
Stay woke. Stay woke.
Let's go.
All right, I'm recording, so let's see here.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Hello, Good Time Nation. This is February 8, 2023. This is your Good Time Culture Podcast, episode 96. This show is recorded in a small little town that we call the Mighty Mighty OX. And you find that in a small, well, it's called Oxnard, and it's in the Gold Coast of California. I am OG Mutt Dog, a.k.a. the number one beaner. And our DJ is known as Hollywood, a.k.a. the lovable bigot. And together, we are your ancient astronaut theorists of record. And please don't forget that everything that we say on this show is protected opinion. All right, let's go.
Wow. Buckle your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. It sounds like we're on a flight and you're giving a flight attendant
announcement that, bro? Or something. There you go. Came to me right there. All right. 3 seconds. That's how we are, dude.
All right, guys. Yeah, your favorite God, family, and country safe space is back here. This is where nonsense meets reality. You will find us here every week. We record Wednesday nights. I had a bunch of stuff written down here, but I just can never read it, and it never sounds right when I just read it out loud. Anyway, so welcome back, everybody.
You have to believe in your material, bro. You have to believe in what you're, you know, yeah, what I mean?
Commit.
I have here, dude.
Commit to the... Yeah, by the way, we are amateurs. Well, I am an amateur. We are blue-collar guys, so any angles that you hear, that's probably where that's coming from.
I'm more of a man of leisure, but yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. What's going on with that?
It's hard to break out of that habit, man.
Jeez. Yeah. Huh. Well, I mean, are you... Have you got that garden going yet? You're doing the bread thing.
Well, I got that. Oh, dude, my last pizza. Dude.
Nice pizza.
Came out so dang good, dude. I added, I started with that Polish. I added a little bit of rye to my dough mix. You know, so a little bread, a little rye, a little semolina, a little bread flour, a little all-purpose flour. Dude, comes out so nice and crispy. Crispy outside. And just fluffy inside, you know, your edge of your pizza.
Nice.
Oh, dude. Because I make it more like a Napoliano style. Nice. And then I've got that nice little oven in the back. It's like part charcoal. And it gets up to like 500 degrees. And then you put some wood in there. And that it'll get up to about 800. And let that thing go. And you want about 800. And you close that little, dude, you cook that little pizza in there in about. Since my pie doesn't get, my oven doesn't get like to 1,000 degrees. I first do the crust. And then bring it out, put my ingredients on it, then put it back in, and then so that the crust and everything will cook even with the ingredients. And, dude, the pizza comes out sweet. And that rye, dude, just add a little bit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit different flavor to the dough.
Yeah, any locals around here, one of my favorite beers was Institution Ales
Great
Relapse, it was called. It was a rye IPA. Oh, man, the thing was good. They said they don't make it anymore. They said they don't sell it enough. Apparently, I was the only one buying it or something.
The rye, huh? You know what? That ingredients in wheat bread and all that stuff. But I'm telling you too, bro. When you make it out of your own, I can tell you, I make my own starter and I start building it up. It's like a 48-hour process. Everyone ate bread, pizza,
basically, you know, five personal, about 10-inch, you know, it's a, like I said, Napoleano style. Your stomach isn't, it isn't like that ball of dough like when you get like a national chain, because they're putting off so much. Mm-hmm. Dude, a lot of it has soybean oil. Have you looked at the bag? Soybean oil. When you make pizza, dude, at home, you don't add none of that stuff. The only thing I add is a little olive oil when I make the dough so it doesn't stick. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's really, or when I make my balls, that's about it.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyways, it was fabulous.
Yeah, you're making me hungry. I got a, dude, got a little fast going over here.
Yeah, dude, come, you know, that's why I have to say it. that's why King David said that in the house of the children of God, hunger is not found.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, dude, so did you, I don't know. I don't know what to start with here. I guess we'll start with our music and then get into, because, man, there seems like it's just PSYOP on top of PSYOP going on here.
Dude, they seem like they're, okay, let's play the music and we'll talk about it.
All right, be right back here.
Yeah, this world ain't got nothing for me. You playing with sin, you chasing the wind. It ain't freedom unless you are free. I'm playing to win, are you making it in? I'ma stand while you taking the knee. I'm only bowing to God, I'm down for the cause. Take all the fame, I've counted the cost. Ain't burning in flames, I am bound to the cross. What is the point when you gain in the world but you losing your soul? You're digging and digging and digging, now you gotta get out that hole. But I gon' burn for dollar sign. Breaking the mold, I won't sign on the dotted line. You can put the chrome to my head and my Columbine. Everybody dying, I'ma rise on the proper time.
Tyson James, passing through. There'll be notes. I always leave the song titles in the description of the podcast. So if you guys want to try to search him out, we played him a lot.
Yeah,
but I like what he's saying here. It kind of hit me mainly because, you know, we were talking a little bit about courage earlier and off the show, and you know. It's really easy to just get hung up on the things in this world, you know, your material things, and worry about those things instead of, you know, sticking to your principles and your conscience and, having a line that you stand behind and not, you know, basically having, you know, 'cause a lot of people, I don't think they really have a line. I guess with COVID, that was when the line kind of got drawn with the COVID mandates, huh? The vaccine mandates.
Dude. I don't know. I think that...
I don't know if everybody thought that way, but...
No. My thought about courage is that if you have faith, faith equals courage. Because you got to have faith in your principles. You got to have faith in your thought and what you believe in. You got to have faith. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If you don't have it, then what courage, what gives you courage? I mean, if you know, I mean, you believe that what, if you learn good things and you pass it on to your kids, that's the courage that you do. You know, you're encouraging them, you know, that no matter what is, what, no matter what the other people is doing, if it goes against your faith and your belief, you just don't, no, I'm cool. But there's some that we can't, right? We want to be keeping up with the Joneses or whatever ideology. You know, it's like the story you were talking to me about, the lady who tried to take her kids out of, she called it a cult, trying to get her kids out
of
being, you know, a transgender and all that. She was kind of waking up to it. Something like that, you know?
Yeah, she started to, I'm sounding loud. She started to kind of transition her kid, at least, I don't think physically, but just transition her kid, clothes wise and calling them all that stuff, and then decided, you know, and kind of gotten that group of people and then decided that she didn't want to do that and wanted him to actually, you know, still be a boy. I don't know if I'm assuming he wanted to be a boy. I have no idea the situation, but basically she recounts it as being like a cult because they were, you know, following her around and not really threatening her, but kind of vaguely threatening her and, you know, are you sure? And, you know, basically putting a big guilt trip on her, she said. And it was kind of interesting because she said it was, I read just a little bit of the article, but she brought up how when she got in it, started doing it, that there was, you know, they basically loved her, you know, they accepted her and, you know, it was all, you know, she got to do all the things with them. And I don't know. It was kind of interesting.
Their idea. It, again, like it confirms them like, oh, there's another one, yeah. You know, hey, that makes us, because then it becomes, that community becomes larger and that community is what confirms. It's what they then gives them faith in what they believe in. It's because, oh, there's another one. But if you walk out, then whatever it is that, whatever doubt that is in their head about what they're in, I'm talking about the naysayers, this feeds into it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it goes against your conscience, you know if it does, man. We all know what's right and wrong. We just choose to do the wrong, you know?
Yep.
So what's next?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about? I got another Died Suddenly segment, but I almost don't want to cover it just because it's always gloom and doomy.
Well, let's not do it at the beginning of the show. Dude, let's save that for, let's see if anybody hangs on towards the end.
Yeah, I got good news.
Those are for the diehards.
The biggest good news for me this week was...
shout out to Old Chemical Lex. Good luck, homeboy, wherever you go. Spread the good news about the Good Time Culture podcast wherever you go, brother. All right?
Yeah, he probably doesn't want to be affiliated with
Come
us.
Come on, but. Dog. Don't be no hater. Don't forget where you came from, man.
This is from the Mercury News out of California, I'm assuming. Doesn't really say, though. Yeah, California, but I don't know where it's. Jeez. But, California quietly abandons COVID-19 vaccine mandate for school kids. The state has no plans to require COVID-19 vaccines for students. So that's super good news.
Well, so now my question is, what is the motivation?
I've been stressing on that.
Because I'm telling you, in our area, our school district has been growing. And also the homeschool movement has been growing leaps and bounds, where we were hearing last semester that the schools were actually concerned, like LA School District, that their body counts had been pretty low. Now, obviously, there's going to be a big pump with all these new immigrants coming in. But even if I was an immigrant, I'd think twice about sending my kids to all this wacky stuff, too. What do you think? I mean, is there...
I intend to email... you know, the principals or whatever, and just to confirm it. But for me, I've been praying about this for probably 6 months straight, night.
But if this
come out, at least it's something, you know.
But if they add this so-called vaccination onto the vaccination card, you know, as it is, they already gave our kids 28 shots. You don't think that the bypass... Oh,
it's way more than 28. It's... like 50-something, 58.
Okay, so, and aren't they supposed to just add this COVID shot onto the list now? I thought that was approved by the CDC.
It was approved.
So,
I think they recommend it.
The point is that if it...
And then the states are the ones that actually enact the framework to make it happen, you know, like the whatever the... you know, filing process. But this says the legislation considered this issue last year and did not enact legislation mandating it. States COVID-19 emergency will terminate later this month per the recent announcement by the federal government. The federal public health emergency will end in May. So California's, I guess, is ending next month.
Well,
interesting.
To
they sure aren't talking about that very much.
I've got a.
Seems like that would be a celebration.
I've got a thought about. I've told you where I've been really, even though I've got all this free time, I'm not really searching for the news and things like that because it looks like there really seem to be, like, if you look at your supposed algorithm and on Twitter or on anything, any device, any, if it's TikTok or whatever, you see what they're feeding you. They're usually feeding you stories that obviously you want to hear, but they know that certain other stories, you know, may trigger you. You know, it may be whatever. It may be a sudden death. It might be a Dr. Malone comes out with another article. Or, you know, like today, I didn't get on Twitter at all day. And, hey, Tim Pool said this. Hey, do you want to go on to? And you're like, dude, I haven't even been wanting to.
So yeah, everybody's mad at Tim Pool right now.
So it just seems like it. If you look at your algorithm, or not only that, but you could just see, you could now, after all these years, when you hear a story, you already know pretty much who's going to say, like the balloon story. We already know who's going to say, yeah, shoot it down. Other ones, oh, no, maybe we should stop and not. You already know the same people are going to say the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was no surprise how that thing went down pretty much supposedly the party line.
It's pathetic.
Yeah. So it's again, all this stuff is starting to, it's like I said, dude, the devil doesn't come up with anything new, dude. It's the same playbook. All frick. Anyways.
I know. I didn't like or appreciate the humiliation of it all because it really feels like the world's been laughing at Biden and America and it feels like our bumbling military at this point. And I can't believe it could be just a ploy, you know, to look weak or something, but man, it's just
no. And then
geez,
if you listen to,
it's really bad.
And now I think bad that look. There's, since we know our government has been sponsoring, with money for counter talk, you hear people come out now speak, will say, well, there's no, the Dutch, they kind of not doing anything, you know, they've kind of given up. They're not, they're just going to give up, kind of like old Adam Curry was saying on Joe Rogan. But then you go watch the news and you see the Dutch farmer, you see the one Dutch farmer, there's supposedly some guys try to protest on his land and he just got a tractor full of manure. And started spreading it all over them, started just following them and spreading manure all over them. And then they went on the road and started protesting. Just to, they're trying to isolate us, guys. They're trying to say, oh, you know, they're hearing all about our problems. They don't care about our problems. Many of those other countries, they got their own shit going on, man. You have Great Britain talking about trying to take away the mandates from kids. Anyways, dude.
Fire at New Zealand's largest egg farm kills 75,000. That's not really that many. 75,000 hens.
Kind of see, but then
there you go.
They get with these news. Like, how does this New Zealand? Anyways, it's going to affect us. But that then runs a scarce. It's like the whole toilet paper scheme again. Oh, eggs are $30. Oh, dude, I went down to the 99-cent only store. $8 for 6 eggs, or 12 eggs, excuse me, at the 99 cents only store. You're going, oh, dude, you guys are some low-life bastards, dude.
Wow.
You know that's some heavy-ass price hiking, dude. I think a lot of these stores are just doing it just because, oh, you know, the government won't come down if we're, what do they call it, gouging? It's inflation.
All right, I'm going to go over here.
Interesting.
Breaking news.
Interesting, dude.
Seymour Hersh put out a big old Substack article that was like, I tried to read it all, but I don't even think I got through, I think I got through 2/3 of it. Dude, it's like, I was reading it for 10 minutes probably.
Yeah.
But it's really well You know what I did notice, though? There's no links, which I would appreciate some links. But he's basically got an inside guy that is saying that the CIA and the Navy, they're not SEALs, but they're like mining guys, like deep sea mining guys, that they joint during a NATO exercise 3 months before they planted a C4 device down there. And set it up with remote capability, and that they wanted it remote so that it wouldn't be obvious, you know. And 3 months later is when they hit the button, and it blew up. That's what this guy's claiming. His insider is claiming. Wow. Seymour Hersh is claiming this.
What do you think? What do you think?
Well, obviously, we were talking, you and I, that it's ridiculous that the Russians would do that to their own pipeline. There was, I think, three or four pipelines. Two of the pipelines that blew up were brand new, had just been finished. The construction had just been finished, like a year before. It was, you know, wow. I can't remember how, I want to say it was $10 billion, but maybe it was $2 billion project. It was like a huge project, you know, to put this underground pipeline, you know. And I don't know if you're familiar with the route, but it basically goes through, straight shot through into Germany from Russia to Germany. So it doesn't need to go through Ukraine or any of the mediaries, and it can get, you know, the energy can go right into Germany. And I would like to, you know, we got some German listeners, and if anybody's got some theories on this, shoot them over to us, because I'm starting to think that the Germans, being like super practical and, you know, pretty prudent, smart people, that they immediately saw in the beginning of this, whatever you want to call this war, saw immediately that, oh, shoot. Russia's going to kick the crap out of it. There's no way. Like, we can't go against Russia because they're going to win.
Well, you know, again,
I think they worked some deals out, that, or at least back channel deals where they were, you know, that's why they haven't committed. And what I think happened is the U.S. wasn't going to stand for that. And that's why the CIA and the U.S. bombed that pipeline, because that pipeline is direct energy. I'm surprised the Germans aren't pissed. Dude, they're going to be pissed when they find out about this. Because if they can track it back to the Americans doing it, because that is direct heating for your grandmas in Germany, dude.
Well,
like, you can't mess around with this stuff.
I believe...
It's crazy.
That the only way... We just used the word courage, but then what's the opposite of courage is cowards. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these cowards in our government who... would rather die than ever tell us the truth. I think something has to be stirring up, because I'm reading right now that Project Veritas just, O'Keefe is right now on leave. And so that's what Gateway Pundit's talking about. You got pharma now. You imagine they got their backs against the wall, and O'Keefe has been, and so you got some investigation of what's going on. How powerful this is.
Is he missing or something?
No. They stepped him down. Supposedly there's some people that came out speaking against him. It's just hot news. I'm just starting to read about it.
Huh.
So, why? So do you think about all these cowards? If the cat's out of the bag, bro. We know that they've held the world in hostage over these 3 years, and we've known that these arm race, we've known that prior, this president, when he was vice president under the Obama administration, what he was doing over in Ukraine with all our other political people, when they got caught red-handed there, we talked about this, how we believe that the reason we went to COVID is that whole crap when you had
the bio lab.
At that time, the prime minister of New Zealand got caught in there. You had the children, the people working in our government, were supposedly advisors there. Yeah. Pelosi's own son was a advisor there. You had these high ranking people, and then you had all this crap.
That Newland now, chick.
And now that all this is coming out, and now you got news people who aren't bought and paid for being taken down by our government, if it's all true, and now we're now saying that we're going after China, because now the Russian whole thing looks like that scam is getting it done.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, the other thing, okay.
No, I don't think so.
On that, whoa.
No, they're going to drag this thing out as long as they can, dude.
No, I don't think
so. We're sending 30 tanks right now.
Hold on.
With the gear and the trainers and,
I got to
know. You know? We're not, and it's like, how many other, there was a bunch of other vehicles, too. Like, hundreds of other vehicles. So, it's not over, dude. They want to fight. I heard someone said they're drafting like really young kids. You know, like if you're 15, you're going to get drafted type of thing.
Yeah. I know, dude. Because this has been planned for a while. Let me play this one if I may. Well,
what? I guess my question is.
All right.
We've never talked really about the Russia-Ukraine thing. But at this point, why wouldn't you just draw a new boundary if you're Ukraine around those two, I think it's three territories in the east of Ukraine that Russia has basically embraced, and they have embraced Russia too, by the way. They asked for Russia's assistance in the very beginning, multiple times, if I'm not mistaken. You know, in my opinion, Russia didn't, I'm getting on a tangent here, but Russia didn't invade. They asked him to come help them because they were getting almost, it sounded like they were getting genocided by a lot of the Ukrainian nationalists that apparently didn't like Russians. And anyway, I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about there was, after the coup in 2014, there was something like 10,000 Eastern Ukrainian, you know, mass murder type situations in Eastern Ukraine where there were, you know, I don't know if it was the Azov battalion type guys, but
it's a bully accusation.
A what?
A bully accusation. Okay. Remember that word bullying?
Sure.
It came back. And so they made a video that this guy's whole attitude, the Project Veritas, Jamie O'Keefe, was a bully.
Oh, and no, and yeah, but and that's a classic,
dude. That's
a classic change of direction, because the video that's shocking is the undercover video that doesn't even have James O'Keefe in it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They're talking about the confrontation video when James O'Keefe comes in and confronts the guy. Yeah, that could be for sure, but the original undercover video stands, man. They're talking about what did they call it? Forced evolution is what they called it.
Forced evolution?
Forced evolution. Interesting. That's what he called it. Because he goes, it's not there's something that's illegal in the U.S. What are you doing over there, buddy?
That's what I'm reading right now, that whole story. I'm okay. Sorry.
What the?
It was good.
I can't carry the show, man. I almost got a three-day fast going right now. I'm struggling.
I know. That's what you've been whistling about. Say it again and finish this part again. I'm sorry. I was like, oh, my gosh.
What the?
Well, no, because it's just weird how you can go after these big wigs, and it's just, I am sorry, dude. I am got caught off.
What were you reading?
It's the accusations. It was the Project Veritas came out with a company headline about the company policy, about their management board, and about this accusation. So it's called an anti-Veritas group. So they're supposed to be ex-workers, the same thing. Like so ex-workers now coming out trying to say, "Hey, you should let me tell you about what it was to work for them." blah, 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 blah. And then so.
Yeah. So bunch of paid what, people. Bunch of paid well, shills. Well, like.
Well, did you hear that all these people that got laid off from these tech companies, did you hear who's recruiting the majority of them?
IRS.
Our federal government.
Oh, no. Federal government.
Our federal government is recruiting a lot of them because, hello, they're little rats. They're willing to do what they're willing to do.
Oh, no. They're like the worst of the worst of the companies and the government's going to gobble them up.
It's another Gateway Pundit article, dude. That's why it's like, it's the circle that these people live in, dude. It's the same group. It's like you see a pack of rats. And you pick up the rock and you see them and they're all run to another rock and you gotta go, they're all over there now.
Here's a classic Project Veritas clip from a couple months ago that we never even played on the show.
The dean's mouth. What it is that these LGBT ABCDEFG people are doing behind closed doors with the students.
So I've been the dean for 4 years. During Pride, we do a Pride Week every year.
This is way.
And I have, pause
real quick, bro. This is way. Obviously, the bullying is way more bigger than this. And Pfizer killing everybody? Way bigger than that. I'm glad they got the bullying.
It's not even... That's the most ridiculous thing. they're all trying to get their get hand favors or, mouth favors or something. These guys are all on dates. I don't know if everybody knows that. We've talked about it before, but that's how Veritas gets these people to be really candid and, like, say things that they shouldn't say. Because... that's how they do it, is they got either a super hot chick going on a date with a dude or a dude, well, super hot dude going on a date with a dude. That was what happened with the Pfizer guy.
Well, here's one guy coming out here.
It's funny. Listen to this. They're trying to impress him.
My name is Mike Timlin, and up until a few days ago, I was a journalist working for Project Veritas. If you know about Project Veritas, then you know that they're willing to do whatever is needed to expose people that need to be exposed and expose the truth. What a lot of people don't realize about being a journalist with Project Veritas is that you have to do a ton of gay stuff. Like a ton. It's so much, it's crazy. And sometimes you don't even get anything out of it. Sometimes it's just a dead end, and then you just did all this gay stuff. And I'm not even gay. I'm not against it, but I'm a happily married man. But I'm also a journalist. To get the biggest scoops, you got to go on a lot of dates, usually gay ones. And, they're not giving up info until the third, fourth, sometimes even fifth.
Okay, so let's play this guy.
I had, our LGBTQ+ health center come in. They were passing around butt plugs and dildos to my students, talking about queer sex, using lube versus using spit.
Who is this?
This is an LGBTQ+ health center came in to talk to my high school students. Nice. They're just, passing around dildos, butt plugs. The kids are just playing with them. Looking at them.
In the school?
In a classroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Let me play the rest of this. Hold on.
Wow.
And that means a whole lot of sucking, random dudes doing poppers. You're up till 6 a.m. just with tons of guys just getting banged.
I think it's
out,
funny for a second, but it's not funny for very long.
People don't know this, but 72.
Okay.
But that was a dean of a prestigious private school.
Yep.
And I think he's still there, by the way. They've kind of followed up. They removed him from the website.
Oh.
But
he's still there.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, that was you got to give Project Veritas a lot of credit for that. I don't know. I do. A lot of people don't like them, but I like the ability, at least, I mean, because we all know that they're going to record us and use anything they can against us at any time. So,
but
why wouldn't it be turned around the other side? So,
But what I don't understand about this whole attack, if it's true about Project Veritas, is I forgot what I was going to think about right now.
Have you ever heard of Yuri Bezmenov? He's like a KGB from the 80s, I think, some defector. And he had a clip. I don't know if I want to play the clip of him, But I think this guy basically explains it really well here. But it's you got to kind of apply this to, it's a little bit of cultural Marxism going on, but it's a little bit different.
Very deliberate process of undermining the stability of a rival nation through what they called ideological subversion. And here's how he defined that. Quote, "What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interest of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country." I got to say, when I first heard that sometime back, I asked myself, is he defining or is he describing? Because what he just said there could easily be a description of many in our society today. Mm-hmm. Where we have an entire class of people whose perception of reality is quite literally beyond the sensible, beyond the biological, beyond the national. They're increasingly pushing a vision of reality that seemingly makes no sense, even to people on the left like Bill Maher. And yet everyone's scared to death to confront them on it, to stand up to this, mm-hmm. lest you be excommunicated, canceled.
Yep.
Well, like what
that's
I wanted,
Dr. Steve Turley there, if anybody wants to look at
him. So this attack, awesome. What I wanted to say about with Project Veritas is that the fans are good. The fans or the people that took these stories to heart are going to believe that what's happening right now to Project Veritas is done by Pfizer and all these medical stuff. Right? Who else is going to attack them? Because isn't it kind of a coincidence that all this happens after this big old freaking bomb? And they were putting that truck in front of their office with that story everywhere.
I don't know what happened though. He's just not around, or
well,
that's where
from
I'm.
From what I read was that they asked, they probably to kind of hush everything down. They kind of announced that this is Gateway Punton. It's reporting that he was asked to step down. I went on to their webpage But on the webpage, there's no confirmation of it.
No, that's his baby, dude. That guy's been doing that for 20 years,
but
that Project Veritas thing.
Now.
Unless they're threatening his life or something. I don't think he would care.
But if they did get this kind of threat, wouldn't it automatically, like you and I would believe that it's Pfizer and the government that's doing this, right? I mean, this would not, the optics wouldn't be good for nobody.
Unfortunately, the same people we were talking about with the Nord Stream pipeline. Because
I mean, that's what it's going to feed. It's that narrative, though. It isn't like everybody's going to say, oh, man, you know what? What Project Veritas did to Pfizer and caught him with that doctor, oh, yeah, they were wrong. From accusing them of being bullies or that they have ex-employees. Do you know what I mean? The smear campaign trying to... Isn't it automatically what you and I are going to come to the conclusion is it's the same person that blew up those same people that blew up the pipeline, the people who put the Pfizer and the shots, it's the same people. They got the same people. You know, who else are we going to say is after Project Veritas?
The CIA. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but the CIA represents what then?
I don't know. They're the globalists.
There you go.
The arm of the globalists. So, you know, I vividly remember that Borloff guy, the German Pfizer main dude, was Borla or something like that, right? Remember that guy? The Pfizer, and he clearly said he had meetings with the CIA about I want to say it was disinformation and misinformation regarding the COVID vaccines. Like he was getting briefings from the CIA.
Yes.
And this is the Pfizer. I don't know if he's a president or the director
CEO
or whatever.
CEO of it. CEO. Of company, yeah.
But I heard that he's going to be, he's supposed to be, I don't know if they subpoenaed him or I don't think they convicted him, but I think it was Germany that, one of the local municipalities there, I think they said they convicted him of, you know, misinformation or something like that.
Well, what is it we talked about last week? Was it
the
Queen of Thailand?
Remember? Oh, I have it. Nice.
Yeah, that one right there. How they're
that's the in ones. My Died Suddenly group. You want to go
no,
do it?
No, but did you hear what the majesty, the court is that making the country is basically annulled their contract with Pfizer and because they had another doctor.
You're spoiling my...
Oh, then play it.
Yeah, it's in my Died Suddenly group, though.
No, but this has been going for a while now, dude. This is now over a week old.
I know, but I got to transition over there.
All right, then let's go over there, I guess.
Normally, I cue transitions, not you, but... What? Because I'm not ready.
I didn't get an email with the listings of all the clips that you were going to use.
Dude, you didn't send me any emails this week.
I've been very unprofessional this whole week.
Come on, man. I've been sending memes over.
Process. Dr. Bhakti.
There you go. That's for you.
So he explains the ridiculousness of the story of the bacterial infection that was told to the royal family about what happened to the princess in the coma. Listen to him and set this up.
Thailand.
We'll get to more on this. Watch.
The ties.
One daughter of the present king, Rama the Tenth, collapsed and is in coma. She, I think it was 23 days after the third shot.
And she's young.
Of course, 44 years old, never been seriously ill, collapsed, and is now in a coma. And the diagnosis that was given by the authorities and by the university is so ridiculous. She's supposed to have a bacterial infection that will never do what she's suffering from. And so we...
Have you seen this?
I'm glad you got it.
And the activists in Thailand who have been on this for many, many months now, great guys, also a professor from the university in Bangkok. He's gotten in touch with the royal family, and we are sending information to the royal family to alert them to the fact that... In all probability, the princess is suffering as a victim of this jab, as so many people around the world have been suffering.
You got to let it play, dude. He, and part of this story, there's a little commercial, but part of this story, dude, if you let him go on, he gets summoned because he's a Thai citizen and tells them their story because we've had this doctor before. About maybe 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, he was one of the most outspoken doctors out there to speak about this. Yeah, play him right there, bro. The reaction. Go play that part.
I'm getting this from Redacted on YouTube. If you guys don't subscribe to that, you should.
We gotta find this doctor's name. We had him. I had him last week.
I am still a Thai, by the way. Thai Joan, we will connect you with authorities and advisors to the highest authorities in Thailand. And this is what happened. And so I had the opportunity, the first opportunity in 3 years, to talk to the top advisors of a government in any country. And it was very, very impressive.
Now, let me just say, before we get to more of this. The reason he wasn't invited to talk everywhere else is he published papers, reports on the clots, the blood clots, because of his research. And it was suppressed. Yes. And it was blocked.
Yes.
So the only country that now wants to sit down with him and hear from him is Thailand.
I laid out to them that this whole COVID-19 agenda is a fake and why it's a fake. And I was able to lay out before them the proof that the COVID vaccinations were based on fraud. 18th of October, mm-hmm. which we have at our disposal. Mm-hmm. The EMA declared officially that safety pharmacological studies were never performed, never, and they were never deemed necessary. So now we have it. And when I told the Thais this, you know, guys, they jumped up. They jumped up in the room. And so they said to me, we will see to it that Thailand is the first country in the world that is going to declare this contract null and nullify the contract, which means that Pfizer BioNTech is going to have to pay back those billions to Thailand, with which Thailand will recompensate those peoples that have lost their existence.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got chills.
That I told you. I'm glad you found that clip. That's what we're talking about, dude.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't know if it's like we're saying it's stroke season right now. Unfortunately, not joking around for the poor people that are dealing with this stuff. But dang,
I gotta be careful. I've only taken 4th breath.
It's crazy. This one. I mean, people obviously get. We got to say it every time. People, you know, heart attacks are the number one killer in America, you know, heart disease or whatever. So people have heart attacks. I understand people have strokes and stuff, but here's another one.
But it certainly does make me wonder. It makes me wonder what caused
black
this
and white sports
to randomly and suddenly happen last summer. Now that we know what it is. More and more reports of strokes and cardiac arrest. This is nuts. She won't be able to be that person anymore. She's having trouble communicating. This is sad. Jessica Pegula gives an update on her mother Kim Pegula's health. On June 14, 2022, the Buffalo Bills shared that the Bills and Sabres owner, president, Kim Pegula was receiving medical care for, quote, unexpected health issues. In the weeks and months that followed, the Pegulas have remained largely private about her recovery. That desire for privacy.
That's the, I think they said the Bills owner.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
That happened last year, though. But, you know, they're just kind of, the family's talking about it more now, so. I don't know. And then there was this one. There's another one. I'll just mention it. A Michigan teen who collapsed on a high school basketball court has now died.
But you know what? I was here listening to the old Adam Carolla show, and he brought up a point. They played a clip.
Mm-hmm.
And when people were dying of the COVID, they would tell you about, you know, Sonny Cher here died, you know, so-and-so. Mm-hmm. 4 people would die, and they would be, like, 3 of them would be 89 years old, or 2 of them would be 89 years old, 1 would be 79 years old, 1 would be, you know,
90.
Did you hear one? Yeah, there was one story, goes, oh, COVID hit her, and she had a goal to live 100 years old, and she only made it to 99. And you're like, wow. But they're not, they used to tell us that on nightly, every night on the news, they shut down places for 2 people being sick. They would be 90 years old, both of them that died. And they would, for those 2 people, remember in Australia, they would close down the whole country for 5 people that died that were all under or over 75 years old. And they closed down the whole thing, but they won't go on TV every day and tell you 18-year-old, Carter Woods falls and dies. 19-year-old so-and-so falls and dies. Mm-hmm. They're not telling you that every day. They didn't tell you that this poor kid, oh, he was hoping to make it to 19. Yeah. But, oh.
The poor parents. That's the thing that, you know, these young kids, it's like, oh, that's just so bad.
I thought that was something that we need to be, see, it's interesting how quickly we can forget those little things. If we don't have people like, certain people remind us or about these old things. And it, we're talking only about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. We forgot. That's how quickly, and that's what these people depend. They say how dumb we are because we forget so quickly about this.
Well, there's so much going on. I mean,
well, yeah.
I wanted to talk about, for 2 weeks now, I've wanted to talk about the all those, the Asian shootings that were going on.
Oh, my goodness. A
couple weeks ago. I was like, what is going on?
No, and you want to, and
there's just so much to talk about.
But again, you see the media trying to separate us because then they're not telling us about the congresswoman up in New Jersey, a black congresswoman.
Yeah, that's a good story.
No one talks about that one right now.
Not a good story, but it's a bad story, but it's the one that needs to be told.
What about the other one here in San Francisco somewhere? He was a doctor, a white doctor, where a guy gets out of the car, hits him with his car, and then starts whacking him, starts calling him all this, you know, crazy whites this and whites that. And you're going, no one's talking about all this.
Yeah,
it wasn't it that long ago, maybe about 2 weeks ago, up north here.
The guy was riding a bike.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And the bystanders had to restrain the guy,
dude,
because he was stabbing the dude.
Yes,
he ran him over and then ran up and started stabbing him.
Racial slurs, call him,
yep,
you white bastard, you white. And you're going, what the heck? That these people have the idea.
I know.
What's up with all this?
Yeah. Well, only white people can be racist. You know,
but again, it's the algorithm that they're showing us. They showed that. Remember the video that we saw, where it was on a school bus where this, like, it looked like it was like a 14-year-old guy, black dude, was just wailing on a 19-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Well, there was a newspaper.
9-year-old.
9-year-old girl.
Not 19.
There was a newspaper. I forgot, in somewhere in Florida, that they talked about it, but the picture that they put on the paper was a little white boy socking a little white girl. And that's the picture they showed. They didn't show the image of the black dude.
Yeah. You're
like, giant. So you see what you're doing? You're seeing it right then and there.
It looked like a grown man.
But then what's interesting is that newspaper's all the way in Florida. And I'm all the way in California. And Twitter made sure to tell me that newspaper was out doing that. So that paper gets all that attention. And it gets me all stirred up. And I brought it here to the Good Time Culture Show, and I'm sure the nation got stirred up.
Yeah.
So look at how that story got.
The racial stuff is interesting here in America because it's really easy to get fired up when you see the, like, the knockout game or whatever. When, you know, it's, I don't know if it's just black people, but it's black people that I see on YouTube that are just running up and clocking people from the back, you know, when they're not even looking. Like,
dude,
blindsiding people.
Straight out pussy shit.
Yeah, and you're like, pussy shit. Why would you do that? I don't understand.
Because they're pussies, dude.
Yeah, but seriously, like,
you seen them?
How, as your own bro, do you go, dude, that was effed up, dude?
And you'll hear,
you know, people, but they're laughing, right?
Them.
Yeah, well, they're laughing. They love it.
What about the poor old lady? Do you see a big old
thug? I don't know what we're talking about.
Is walking
now
by a poor old lady.
Let's get out of here.
New York, and he socks her in the chest. And the woman has a heart attack on the floor right there.
Let's talk some conspiracies.
We need some
conspiracies.
Hollywood got so happy, he didn't even know. He's always talking smack when I bring up Adam Carolla, but today, he's happy. Here he goes.
Show with neighbors and kids and friends. Sam Tripoli, comedian, is in studio.
Yeah, Sam Tripoli.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure.
He's
Brian
my
Callen
podcast,
is running
way.
Late, but should be in
Let's
at
hope.
Some point.
Let's hope.
Sam and Brian also do a podcast called Conspiracy Social Club, a.k.a. Deep Waters. And I'm glad you're here because if you would have got hold of me even 3 or 4 years ago and started talking to me about conspiracies and government and that kind of stuff, I was always a conscientious objector to any of the stuff. And to be fair, some of the earlier stuff was, you know, we never really landed on the moon.
Right.
Or the Jews weren't in the tower. And I was like,
the classics.
Give the classics, the classics. Hits. You know what I mean? And I was like, I saw Capricorn 1, OJ's best movie. And I get it, but I think we did land on the moon. But then sort of COVID hit, you know? And then FBI doing a lot of raiding of people's they didn't agree with, you know? And then a lot of, like, the Steele dossier, you know, and stuff like that. Hunter Biden's laptop. And I was like, oh, maybe there is a little more going on a conspiracy governmental level than and also getting back to the Kennedy assassination. Like, isn't it time to release all the documents? No, they don't want to release all the documents. Even a little Watergate stuff in there. There's a dusting of like Fauci and Wuhan lab and stuff. And now, man,
I love it. And that's a lot of people.
For he's me, full conspiracy guy now.
I have a podcast. No, my big show is Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli. And that show.
It's difficult to call it conspiracy theories because they're all coming true.
For sure.
They're not conspiracy theories anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
They're not even news. It's true shit. This is what these people are
I'm
doing.
I'm even
to
susceptible
us.
To that word. Propaganda.
No, the conspiracy theory.
You know about that word, right?
Yeah. But the conspiracy theory really is what the government is doing, and who in Hollywood are they paying off to counter this argument?
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I've seen a lot of these weird shows popping up on my feed that I don't subscribe to with counter arguments, and they're really nice and polished shows. Like I said,
I'm so happy for Sam Tripoli to get on Adam Carolla's show. By the way, he's always complaining about not getting on anybody's shows. So Adam Carolla is a pretty big 240. Wow. You'd think he'd have more than that.
No, that's just for that. But his shows in the millions, his subscribers to his show, listen to his show.
Yeah. I think he puts out a lot
and then his empire too of different content. Shows that he puts out. Then he's got his catalog of shows of hit because he still does Ace on the House. Remember, he has a construction background, so he has a construction show, and then he has a legal show. Yeah, I like his shows.
Yeah.
Well,
I know you do.
I started really listening to him when he was going against the teachers' union during the whole COVID and the whole thing about the teacher union calling themselves heroes and all that.
Yeah.
And all that crap was we played cuts over there.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because the original Zoom meetings of teachers basically being brought into the home.
Yes.
You know, video
that's what
style.
Started a lot, yeah.
And that's where people started to kind of go, what? You got a gay pride flag in the background? Like, what the?
Well, remember that's
you know, like
the teachers were,
people started noticing things here and there, you know, like, what?
Remember the teachers started getting upset because the parents were listening to the class? And
yeah, they didn't want them to.
But the parents were like, yeah, but we're cleaning, like the mom, we're cleaning the house, and I can hear the crap you're talking to my kids about.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how it came. Yes.
That's funny. All right, here's some more Sam Tripoli.
I was watching like Bernie Sanders play like arenas and Hillary Clinton playing cafeterias and everyone's telling me she's leading in the polls.
Right.
And
I
was listening to people like Jimmy Dore and Lee Camp and they're talking about exit polls. So I decided to start doing it. And then you just start going down this kind of rabbit hole and it gets super interesting. And so everybody goes, is everything conspiracy? Based on my knowledge and what my research, yes, everything 100%. Is conspiracy from the food you're eating, the air you're breathing, and just even our money system is super interesting. So I can understand why people wouldn't be at first. But if you're still not at least a little bit going, okay, something might be going on, it makes me nervous, you know? Like, why are you still wearing masks? Like that's the most interesting. I was just went and got some Starbucks. Dude. This guy had three masks on making my coffee. Dude. And nobody with masks on looks healthy at all. They're trying to stay healthy, but you look like you're starting at non-healthy.
Right. Yeah, now there's two kinds of, as I would explain to Dr. Drew all the time, like you take something like mass. So there's two ways to approach a conspiracy theory, or even if it's not, is it effective? Isn't it effective? Like how do we approach this? My approach was less conspiracy and more just sort of practical boots on the ground, which is
to the point where
I'm
I
not
want
even
to
gonna
get to on this.
Argue over whether a mask is effective or not. I will let's just say it is. But if you're going to require that I wear one at all times on an airplane and then hand me sacks of Fiesta Mix and a Fresca and tell me I can take it down during that time period, then I'm going to announce that I'm not going to argue whether masks are effective or not effective, but I am going to argue that the way we implement it is definitely not effective. Every motherfucking time Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Mayorkas or whoever, they stood behind with their mask on, and then they went up to the dais, got behind the microphone, took the mask off, bloviated for 20 minutes, and then put the mask back on, and then silently stood next to the person who had their mask off, bloviating into the microphone. So mask can be effective, but that ain't effective, and that's not science.
Rule. Let's have a consistent rule, like the restaurant, right? If I stand up, I have to wear a mask. If I sit down, I don't need a mask because apparently COVID has vertigo and can't let down. It gets dizzy, right?
The number of times somebody lectured me about a mask with the mask below their nose and or what I used to see on the flights all the time, the twisted strap, which
bastards.
Made it pinch and saw leave a three-quarter inch gap on the side cheek. Of each side. So they're lecturing me about a mask, but I can see through their mask into their mouth moving, lecturing me about wearing a mask. So I was like, I don't want to get into the argument of whether it works or not. I want to get into the, I'm assuming that scuba gear works.
Yeah.
But if you went down to 100 fathoms and you took it off and then you ate chips, and it wouldn't work. So that's my argument.
But
the mask
like
doesn't work anyway. But yes.
All that kind of like these, whatever you want to call it, psyops or way people think, like, isn't there always so much hypocrisy? Like, I've been doing stand-up in L.A., and you're trying to figure out, like, the political correctness of comedy, yet like, they'll stare at you for some things, and then someone will go up there and just break that whole rule, and they'll laugh, like, hysterically. And you're like, if you give me a consistent rule, I'll follow it. If there is no consistent rule, I'm not going to follow your stupid rules that make you just try to feel safe and in a warm, fuzzy place.
Well, for me,
it's a weird thing, too, because it's almost a way to break people's minds, you know, because you're, you know, you know, for me, if I were to, I don't know, because, you know, I guess you'd have to, if you're 100% in, then I guess you're 100% in, though.
Well, remember when we first started the show, dude, we were really always questioned about what we wanted to say, what we weren't going to say. You know, we were afraid of little...
I think the only thing...
All the snitches out there, you know?
The only thing at this point that's off limits for me is just, like, work stuff. You know, that as far as anything, I'm trying to think anything else that's, because you and I do pride ourselves on the show for being, you know, genuine and, you know, authentic, you know, that's kind of our, that's, you know, besides the show sounding really good because of the Rodecaster, you know, our second probably best attribute is because we're authentic, you know, we're not a faking it and not trying or anything. I mean, we're our trying, but. Not try hards at least, but that's pretty lacking these days in this world. You know, when you basically just, you know, that's why I think those, you know, the YouTubers like Salty Cracker and all these guys, Adam Carolla was kind of big time, you know, before, you know, on the radio and stuff. But
he's kind of like the first. They would give him a credit for being the first podcast guy that went big until Adam Curry started coming out, and they're like, oh, okay. You know, Adam Curry would stay quiet about it.
I really liked him and the doctor guy, Dr. Drew.
Yes.
That was when they...
Dr. Drew is another guy. Dr. Drew is another guy. If you really want to hear through a medical doctor or perspective of what's going on or what has been going on, and a guy that he took the shot... He did it. He actually would say he took it because as a doctor, he wanted to feel what his patients and he said it was crap.
They must be talking.
They're best friends.
Yeah, they must be talking a lot because it's funny.
Dr. Drew has a show called After Dark. Wonderful show. If you want to hear a great show, I highly recommend it.
It was always when, because they were radio, right? Yeah, they would put out kind of a podcast. You're right, but it was always about the callers. Well, on those shows when the callers would call in,
K Rock.
That was the best part.
And that was Love Lines. What you're talking about?
Ah, there you go.
That was Love Lines.
Yeah,
and that was when that show became popular because of them. It used to be a radio show, then a TV show, then he got on it, and then
That's what I used to listen to a long time
ago. Everyone did, man.
Yeah. Let's do some more here.
me, the way I got his voice to a lot of consistency and truth.
I love the guy, because
he has a...
You know, I don't like to talk about myself, but nobody's batting average was higher in COVID than mine.
Yeah.
You
Good Time Culture Podcast, dude, 100%.
Uh-huh.
We just send them our show.
Batting 100.
Michelle Walensky explaining that she's scared as a mother, or she didn't want... I mean, the clip of her kid wanting to go to summer camp, where she's just clearly lying and then saying the very last day. Or it's Fauci talking about BLM marches are fine, but going to the ball game isn't fine in the outdoor stadium. I made fun of every one of those clips in real time.
Yeah.
Everyone else looks back at them now, 2 years later, and goes, oh, man, what were we thinking? Yeah. I'll tell you what I was thinking. I was screaming, he's full of shit. She's full of shit. This is bullshit.
I thought I found like a soulmate when he was coming out with all these rants. Remember when I was bringing him on, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, he brought, yes. Anyways, go for it, dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I need to look up Corolla's podcast just to get this. This is probably a very interesting
conversation here. I listened to the whole dang thing. It was really good.
I'm not a big fan of Brian Callen, so when he gets there, I might tune out. But he's in right here, so.
But you get a full 40 minutes of Justin Patripoli and him.
So Tripoli and Callen do that show that he was talking about where Callen's kind of the normie guy that doesn't believe in any conspiracies. And Sam's basically trying to convince him of a conspiracy.
Yeah. You know,
like whatever it is. So it's kind of fun. But yeah, he's always hard for me to listen to people. You know, you got to be skeptical of the narrative. Why wouldn't you be skeptical of the narrative, you know?
Yeah.
If something's being jammed down your throat, you know, like that's just an automatic I don't know.
Yeah.
But that does get into my next thing I got here, speaking of conspiracies. How do you I don't really have any sounds, but how do you feel about the moon landing? We've talked about it before on the show.
You know what? I you know that I was a skeptic.
Yeah.
But I have, I think, a copy of my first program I ever wrote, okay, for a machine. And I know it. And I haven't, I put it away because that's important to me.
Uh-huh.
When they told them that they lost all the data for them to how to get back to space or what they did, that to you, if that doesn't tell you exactly what this is, I don't know what. I said, that was so important to me that I still have my first program I ever wrote.
Yeah. You're spot on because I got it queued up to that exact moment that this guy's talking about it. This is My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast, which, man, what a cool podcast. This guy basically just lets people come on and just go. You know, he just introduces them and then just lets them go, you know. But the guy's name's Bart Sibrel, S-I-B-R-E-L. He's the one that did the... something, I think it was something weird happened on the way to the moon or whatever, but this is him talking exactly about what you were talking about.
This one, to the fact that they intentionally destroyed all the hardware, all the blueprints, and all the electronic diagrams, all the telemetry data as to where the spacecraft really was at the time, and all the original videotapes. They didn't lose them out of their own mouth. NASA says they destroyed them. So if you spent an equivalent of $200 billion to build a rocket that could go to the moon and back and go to the moon and back and go to the moon and back, why would you destroy that? I mean, maybe you should have done that with the atomic bomb, but did they destroy that technology? No, of course not. The B-52 is 70 years old. And there's 200 of them still in the United States Air Force. So why would they build a technology that can so easily go to the moon and back and then destroy it and the blueprints and the diagrams and the original videotapes of them allegedly on the moon? If you really went, you would never do that. And if you committed a fraud, That's exactly what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so the fact that they destroyed everything is actually proof of the fraud.
There you go.
If they really meant, that's the last thing they would do to a $200 billion investment.
We have a department, bro. Was it the Smithsonian? That's mm-hmm. supposed to keep all our country's data and records and stuff like that.
History,
people
right?
brag about their music, musicians, that their music gets put in the Smithsonian. It's a big deal. It's a national archive.
Archive, yeah.
You're telling me that they don't have a copy of all this.
It is really ridiculous.
They have Dr. Dre's Chronic album in there. And you're telling me that they don't have the launch sequences? We saw movies. Remember the computers? Those beautiful black ladies who were calculating all the... How they
oh,
were
yeah.
in the basement.
Dude, there's been so many movies.
Remember that they were in the basement and, oh, yeah. and how they really... Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So they got that movie and mm-hmm. they know that story. So why don't they go to those ladies and go, can we see your notes? I thought she figured out the launch. Remember there was a scene where the lead character figured out something for Neil Armstrong and even Neil Armstrong requested her. Oh, dude, the movie's like... Then Neil Armstrong supposedly requested her, and they went with her equations. Or you're like...
Brain AIDS movie. No thanks.
So you're going, what? So you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. Well, there's so much to it, too, that this guy covers it really well on this podcast. You guys, check it out. That is My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, and it's Bart Cybrell.
And none of these millionaires have ever made it to space, remember? Didn't Jeff Bezos go with his buddies and they didn't even go into space?
Well,
all these millionaires trying to go to space.
This guy covers it, that you can go 240 miles up, and that's where the space station is. And you can get up there really easy, and that's technically space, but beyond that's the Van Allen belt, and it's a radiation belt that I think is... hundreds of miles deep. And so, and they, you know, there was many scientists that said there's no way you can go through that, that they're not even sure their instruments are going to be able to make it through.
Remember that they showed us in science that there was this one window that they always have to wait, and one window would come around, and then that's how the space shuttle had to go through it. And then on coming back, they had to make sure they hit it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And
the right angle.
Didn't you watch it? So you're telling me Apollo 12, the movie with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
That great movie that got an Academy Award for Opie is fake?
Yeah. Fake and gay.
Dang.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know if you want to keep going on the moon landing stuff.
Whatever, dude.
It's pretty good. I don't know. I don't have it totally queued up, but let's see.
Our government is murdering their own people, right? Robert Mueller was defense secretary during the Vietnam War. You know what he said on his deathbed? The Pearl Harbor incident of the Vietnam War, known as the Gulf of Tonkin.
This guy's breaking down. He's basically like,
against the war,
it's like Adam Carolla, wide awake.
For this North Vietnamese ship attacking our soldiers, it never happened. The CIA and he made it up. That war killed 3 million people and 58,220 Americans. The government's willing to kill them, right? So I think they're willing to fake a picture on a television set when there's no independent press coverage, no one able to verify where they are, right? And we have to just take the government's word. This picture's on the moon, right?
Yep.
When they can't go today, 50 years later, when no one can go today, 50 years later, that there's never been a technology in the history of the world that couldn't be repeated 50 years later, when it should be 100 times better 50 years later.
So then so this means that the Russian one was fake too, then?
The Russians never landed on the moon, though. Not with a human.
Well, supposedly they went to the moon. They even had that one, those little dogs that went up and came. They even made a movie about them.
No, that he brings all that. That's a really cool fact that the Russians have, out of the top 10 firsts for space travel, Russia has like 9 of the 10. And then all of a sudden we come out of nowhere and we're first on the moon. Don't have any of the other achievements. You know, they were first on all the other achievements, like you're saying, first animal, first human,
Sputnik and all that stuff. Yeah.
First orbit, all these things, right? All the firsts. We jumped to first on the moon, and they've still never went to the moon. Kind of weird. You know, they perfected the technology of launch and re-entry and all that stuff.
Well, no. They didn't. It's all them German scientists that they took from the Nazis, and they took over.
Remember
the Russians and the U.S.
Paperclip.
Were fighting
over
those scientists.
That's true. Come they on, did. Man. That's true, too, because, I mean, yeah.
There's more to this.
The head rocket Nazi that we got over here said that it would take a rocket the size of the Empire State Building to have enough fuel, you know, to get from here to the moon and back. And, you know, obviously it's basically impossible to launch something like that big. But, you know, it's 230,000 miles to the moon. And we go 240 miles to the space station. You know what I mean? So to me, it's there's just too many things that are a little farcical, if you ask me. But the main takeaway from that podcast, which I can't recommend enough, guys, is really interesting. The main takeaway that I took from that, though, was the way he was talking about how people have a hard time accepting that the moon landing was fake because there's an emotional kind of bond to it from when they were younger, or whenever they heard about it. But he said that what he said, I thought really resonated for me, that the bigger problem than we didn't go to the moon and coming to grips with that is coming to the grips of the next step is they lied to us this whole time. And that's the hardest part for people to kind of wrap their heads around. And getting back to Corolla, you know, it's kind of interesting that COVID, you know, of all the things, you know, the biggest psyop I've ever seen in my life, COVID, woke up Adam Corolla to conspiracies. Now he's questioning all kinds of stuff, you know.
You see that all over.
Dr. Drew.
No. You see that all over Twitter.
It's awesome.
A lot of people like that were like the lady who was in that cult and seeing a loved one die, going through that experience, going through the whole tyrannical behavior of all the world government, what we saw in Canada with the trucker movement, where we happened the lockdowns, the severe, the camps that they made in Australia, bro.
Yeah, did make camps.
Dude.
And they made relatives like celebrate across a border, like a fence thing. Remember that? Like they couldn't cross. They had to stay on one side. The other family had to stay on the other side if they got split up or whatever.
The ugly pictures are those ones that you see, like they have, you have the elderly couple and they have like a plastic sheet in front in between them. But they made these like plastic sleeves. So they can put their hands through it, so they can hug each other through these curtains, and you're going, the person who
it's so brutal, dude, because I know that Jesus is all about hugs and love, and they basically took away love and Jesus from people because they didn't let them hug their, you know, sick relatives or their dying relatives or... I don't even think some people didn't even get to see their, like the funeral. Like it was like, nope, it's closed.
No, and they were, and some funerals were
brutal.
Limited of how many people could go. And man. But you know what? But the one thing is really good about it is that we don't talk about the kids in the cages anymore. We don't talk about the exportation of our kids. Pizzagate is no longer talked about anymore. All this, you know, it's kind of cool, man. I mean,
So I could be getting played by Lauren Boebert here. But
of course you're getting played.
Check this out.
You played yourself.
I like this other guy too, Sean Fouch, I think is how you say it. Fouch. He's the guitarist guy.
Welcome to the Hold the Line podcast. One of my favorite people in politics, actually one of my favorite people just in general, Lauren Boebert is here. We're excited. We're in Phoenix.
Yes.
It's been fun.
It's so much fun. And you are one of my favorite as well. You came out to my primary party.
I did.
We worshiped.
We had worship. Okay, let me just tell you guys what a gangster Lauren Boebert is.
Gangster for Jesus.
I already don't like
Jesus,
this
yes.
Huh?
We were,
I already don't like this
We
already.
Came out and
Why?
She rented a...
Because?
Why?
It just sounds, not genuine.
Huh.
But go ahead, play it.
Huge bar, massive bar, and wanted to do worship. And I told her as soon as the votes were coming in that she was going to win. She's like, I don't know. Well, we found out that you won before we even started the party. And she was like... Don't tell people I won yet, because let's worship.
Yes.
That was so cool.
Yeah, I didn't want to take away from that, because I wanted to usher in that presence so greatly. It was just such a stirring and an unction to do that and to really put God first.
Right.
We say God, country, family, but do we show that in our actions? And to stand up and give a speech, we won, victory. No, like, let's worship the Creator, and then we'll get into the rest of
stuff.
Oh, I was
literally, I was so moved by that, and just, and I feel like...
I think we're all Boebert fans anyway, so I don't need to pump her up anymore. So you think that was scripted or fake?
I don't know.
What don't you like?
See, at the table, he has the sacred book. It's a sacred book.
Uh-huh.
And
do you know that guy?
I have a saying.
Like, do you know this guy, buddy?
Excuse me. I have a saying I tell my kids, like, show me your Bible and I'll tell you, and that'll show me your faith and how you believe in it, you know, and just stuff like that. And I don't care if they have a million people. The Pharisees had a dozen people. And Samson knocked them all down with one swift. So, I don't know.
Okay, do you want me to tell you about him, or are you going to listen?
Go ahead, tell me about
him. Are you done with him?
All right, tell me about
him. I can tell you, you get done with people, dude. Done. Off with his head. But yeah, this guy toured during the lockdowns.
Yeah, I don't play I don't know. And?
Lockdowns, dude. And? You weren't supposed to do any worship. You weren't supposed to do any of this stuff.
I never stopped me. I didn't have to go on tour.
Off with his head. Chop his head off.
I didn't have to go on tour. I just went to my room and
pray. My dog says, off with his head.
Nope. The good book says that you really want to pray to me, go to your room and pray.
Well,
that's cool, though. Hey, that's cool.
Yeah, he's missioned for Jesus a lot more than you have, buddy.
So, really?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Dude, I watched all his videos,
just
bro, during the lockdown. I just said.
All those people there, they were all came to worship? They all came to faith?
Well, okay. Off with his head, right?
I don't know him.
Jeez.
I don't know his testimony. I don't know what
he's
about.
Yeah, I'm trying to give you some, and you're like, nope, shut up, you know? Nope.
Has he received the Holy Spirit?
A failure of imagination.
Has he received the Holy Spirit? I don't know.
Goodness, buddy. All right, here is some Jordan Peterson.
So that I get some of your money, that's only just because, first of all, it's exactly what you did, and second of all, well, why not spread some of that wealth around? So that's Machiavellianism, narcissism, and psychopathy, dark triad. They've expanded that recently to add another dimension that was missing, sadism. And the sadist takes positive delight in causing pain to others. And the lulz culture, L-U-L-Z, the lulz culture online, is a culture of sadistic, Machiavellian, narcissistic psychopath.
Lulz. Meaning, like, people are joking around shitposting.
I did it for the lulz, and it's the plural of LOL, laugh out loud. But, like, if you look at the Urban Dictionary, for example, the definition of lulz is positive delight in the suffering of others. It's like, yeah, it's sadistic. And bloody well, social media just facilitates, like...
I never thought of lulz as being sadistic.
It's in and of itself, it's not a sufficient marker, right? you have to have like six or seven things going
on. I mean,
on
someone trips and hits their head or something, or
manifesting this underlying tetra
falls down or something. Traits.
Like if you use an odd acronym and you're throwing out a joke at someone, that this is a habitual pattern of doing nothing but provoking people online.
It's like troll.
And using deception and lies to attract attention to yourself. You know, it has to be a very consistent pattern. But Paulos, first of all, and his crew of researchers and people who've been influenced by him have laid out this four-dimensional structure of the dark side, let's say. And they've shown that hyper users of social media, Instagram, for example, and people who do a lot of anonymous shit posting are characterized by, what would you call it? Domination by those four traits. And part of the reason for that,
this is the part I like, the second half of this,
to our whole society, I think, is that you got to ask yourself what keeps the psychopaths under control in the normal population.
Here we go.
And the answer seems to be, especially on the male side, is that narcissistic aggressive men get put in their place by non-narcissistic aggressive men. And that usually has to do with something like the threat of physical intervention. You know how it is if you get a bunch of guys together. I can make a joke about you, and I could even make a joke that was and sort of put you down. But the joke would have to be funny. You'd have to have the opportunity to reciprocate, and you'd have to believe that I was doing it in good spirit. Because if I just used the opportunity to, stick the knife in, we're not going to get along with each other very long. And we know that, and men know that when they talk to each other. And so part of what keeps dialogue among men civilized is the possibility that it won't be civilized if it goes too sideways. And everybody knows that. There is none of that online because anybody can post anything about anyone, no matter how denigrating and derisive, especially if they do it anonymously, and there's zero consequence. In fact, quite the opposite. If they're good at it, they get a lot of attention, and the social media companies will monetize it. And so not only is it not inhibited, it's actually facilitated. And this isn't a trivial problem because if the psychopaths multiply enough, they take the whole.
You hear this part is if they, if they take over media enough, which kind of, the psychopath stuff is interesting to me.
It's actually facilitated. And this isn't a trivial problem because if the psychopaths multiply enough, they take the whole society out. Mm-hmm. So I think virtualization enables psychopathy. And it's worse than just the trolling bit. That's bad enough because it pollutes political dialogue and it makes everyone think that everything is more unstable than it really is. But online criminality is actually a terrible plague. I don't think there's an old person in North America who isn't being targeted by some gang of psychopaths who's, documented all of their interests and their locale and who knows how much money's in their bank account and who's doing everything they possibly can at every second to leverage access to it. That's just happened.
Yeah, man, that's Trudeau.
It is weird. The psychopaths can almost train someone to be a psychopath with social media is kind of what he's getting at there. That's what I took out of that. You get a positive reinforcement for being.
You gave a guy who is a weak person in the real society, you gave him weight online. That if you would meet him, like you said, the guy would get his ass kicked around here for it.
That was my favorite part of that clip was that last,
The only reason Black Lives Matter didn't get their ass kicked is because the police department was right there protecting them in every spot they were at, and they didn't let anyone attack them. And if there was a group like the Proud Boys that attacked them, right away we had government that labeled them as terrorists.
You're talking Antifa or Black Lives Matter? Yeah.
Either way, Antifa.
Kind of one
say,
of the same.
I'll say Antifa and Black Lives Matter, but we'll say Antifa.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Antifa for sure. It felt like
the same
cops
thing Black
would jump
Lives
in.
When they were marching down cities and demanding white people to give up their houses to give it to black people.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So, and you had, and so you had the police there holding the people that, it was funny though, the people who want to defend are still afraid to get arrested. They still want to be law-abiding citizens. But your attacker isn't. And they're being protected by the cops. Then aren't the cops then thugs too? Because how is it? That wasn't a fair fight. It's like, dude, let us go at it.
Mm-hmm.
And Antifa, this crap would have been done long time ago. It's exactly what Jordan Peterson is saying right here. These narcissistic little people out there who are being allowed to terrorize and burn things because the we saw the Capitol buildings being attacked in Portland and the police department not doing anything to protect them.
Yeah, that, they got a lot of stand down orders. I know that.
We saw that in
the governor's told them
in Portland when they did that Shad City and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And but then when the police department had orders to go in there and stop it, how quickly did they stop it? Mm-hmm. Remember when they broke up Chad? They went in there and they didn't give a dang what those people, they didn't care about the protests or nothing. That's when you know that all this is BS.
The black bloc types, which are kind of Antifa, it's a different group of Antifa, but it's
It
is similar. Cover their faces like Antifa. They all wear all black, obviously. But I've always felt that there's got to be Fed agents in there because they're already masked up and covered up. So like there can be anonymous. You know, where when you look on the other side of the protest, when there used to be protests every weekend, just about, you know, everybody has no masks on. You could see their face right there. You know, I want to say patriot side, but you know what I'm visualizing is a lot of those Trump rallies back in the day where it's pretty much man, that was brutal days being like, if you wanted to go to a Trump rally, you know, you better be ready to battle coming out of there if you're going to it in San Francisco or New York or whatever. Remember those days? It was crazy. It was like every weekend there was someone that was all bloodied up, and typically it was Trump people. I remember that. I vividly remember that blonde chick getting the egg thrown in her at her head, and she had like egg broken in her hair. And Antifa would bring like piss balloons.
Yeah. Full of piss, urine, and pieces, and
like really evil crap. Yes. You know, like what is wrong with you guys?
And again, it was any. You imagine anybody could do the terror that they were doing if the police department was protecting them.
Yeah.
Again, this would have everything he's saying is so true, man. If we would have been allowed to just stop it, dude, it would have stopped from the beginning, because we heard. When it came here in California, there are certain neighborhoods that they didn't go in.
Mm-hmm.
There were stories that there's areas where biker gangs,
yeah,
and gang members actually got together. Like, nah, this ain't gonna happen.
Local business owners,
all got together. They didn't allow it to go into certain neighborhoods, and
yeah, that's what happened to Rittenhouse over there too. St. Kyle.
Well, Nation, you guys here? It is time to say good night.
Shut it down.
Old Hollywood is old, and, well, he has to go to work. That's what the poor people have to do nowadays, is work. But no, seriously, man, it's been a fun, fun evening. It's so many things to talk about. Unfortunately, COVID is still the headlines, and the ramifications of it are just extending more and more. But we got to thank God, and only thank God, that all these demons are starting to come up.
Mm-hmm.
All these stories are starting to unwind. And let's hope that this is the beginning of a good thing, that judge is coming, and well, once again, we look at our numbers, and the numbers keep on going higher and higher and higher, and we are so happy about it. Great Britain still seems to be one of our largest audience, and we want to thank you so much. And well, the only reason that happens is for one thing only, guys. And that is because Hollywood and I ask that you pray for us. Please, and we will pray for you. That's no doubt about that. But we need that. So please tell other people about the show. Come back to it. I have a Twitter handle of OG Mutt Dog. You can send me a tweet. Make fun of the show. Give us your opinion. We have email addresses, which is a Good Time Culture Podcast at 805@gmail.com. That's Good Times Podcast 805@gmail.com. All right. Well, I'm OG Mutt Dog. Have a good night.
See you all next right. Time. You guys made it to the end of the show. Now I got all the energy I need.
Now? You punk.
Make sure you hit like a review somewhere. Give 5 stars or 1 star, whatever you want to do. Just try to get involved. That's always fun. Tell us how we're doing. Tell us what you want to talk about. We're always up for suggestions. You can get on my email list and send me links of stuff. That'd be nice, too, if you really want to do that.
Yeah, Raymond, we've been needing some new updates about how's it going out in the trucker world.
Thanks to Gail for sending me links. Shout out to Gail and
Tony Boyd for continuing sending us crazy links. Watch your links, man.
We should give all the shout outs. Shout out to B Rad out there. Gave us a little donation segment on No Agenda. That was awesome. If we have any No Agenda, new people from No Agenda, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, but, most definitely.
Anyway, we'll be back next week, you guys. With love in our hearts over here, we'll be exposing evil and praising God. Love you guys.
Bye.